Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice on the web at wileymanager.com.
Well, welcome back to this, another Wiley Manager Podcast, Jed. And today we're talking about constructive conflict.
Sometimes conflict is actually a good thing, and you should be looking for ways to increase it on your team versus ways to try and, you know, we've done podcasts before on managing conflict effectively and other such things. So where we're trying to, you know, not maybe ignore the conflict, but deal with it effectively, here I'm going to suggest that sometimes it's actually a good thing. You should try and figure out a way in order to get more conflict happening within your team.
Okay. Well, what the hell are you talking about? What's your problem?
So let's talk a little bit why conflict is good. Then we'll talk about some of the warning signs that you might see to help you understand whether this is something you should be spending some time thinking about, and then how you might go about productively and constructively encouraging some conflict before we end up with three things as usual.
Three things. Cue the music. All right. So start us off. Why should I care about constructive conflict? Isn't conflict something I should be avoiding? Isn't this something that I should be bearing at all costs?
Sometimes, but not in all situations. If you think about where, you know, some of the best ideas and thinking is going to come out of a group of people, perhaps for a time, disagreeing on something, not seeing something the same sort of way, challenging each other's ideas, shooting holes in other people's ideas in an effort to try and solve a problem. So often, and when done constructively, conflict's going to help you extract the best possible solution. Rather than the flip side being everybody always agrees on everything and we just go with whatever the first idea was every time.
Right.
So, you know, it's a way to get the best, most innovative solutions out of your team. It also helps make sure that the team is addressing, you know, real problems and that real solutions are, in fact, determined, right? The crucial types of topics are getting spoken about and getting addressed, right? Helps you avoid some of that, the pocket veto or backroom politics where, you know, perhaps everybody's nodding their head in the meeting, you know, nodding their head and agreeing, and then as they leave the meetings, when the resistance starts to happen. It's harder to control when it's outside the meeting. It's harder to do something about when it's the hallway, you know, type of resistance that's not being brought up at the meeting itself when solutions are actually being determined.
Right. Yeah. We're all there. Didn't say a word and get us. Yeah, that's bullshit.
That's right. That's when I think conflict is, in fact, a good thing. You need to be able to have good, honest, candid conversations and candid disagreement at times in order to come up with the best ideas.
Right. And at the risk of flying off on a tangent here, it's been my observation too, is that there's some cultural things here, not only among companies, but you know, I've worked in the United States and in Canada and the UK. Mm-hmm. And these are three countries you think would be a lot alike, and they're actually completely different in the way in which people deal with conflict. Right. So I had the unique experience of working with Canadians and Americans at a British company inside the United States. Tell me that's not weird.
Schizophrenic. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had these various contingents. And interestingly, and I'll go out on the limb here and wait for the viewer mail to show up, but Americans are much better at conflict than the British or the Canadians were. Mm-hmm. Right. And certainly in the situation I was in is that the British and the Canadians wanted to keep the peace at any cost.
Right.
Because, and that's sort of consistent with their culture too, where I found the Americans were much more able to get into good creative discussions, and they would argue and debate their point and passionately, right? And then they'd be fine afterwards.
Yep.
Right. But if you're in one of those cultures, whether it be a country you're in or an organization you're in, where it's keep the peace at any cost, then you may want to stir things up just for that sake alone.
Yeah. The dangers, you just might not be getting to the best possible outcomes.
Yep, I totally agree. So what are some signs? What are some warning signs that maybe I don't have enough conflict in my life?
If all of your meetings are really boring, Bob,
you know,
if there is nothing that ever gets stirred up, to your point, everybody's very polite and they're very respectful of each other, which are, you know, fine things. But if all your meetings are boring, you might have a problem where conflict, the right kind of conflict, isn't being surfaced.
Okay.
And we talked earlier about these back channel politics, you know, sort of the talking behind people's back. You know, about what a dumb idea this is, or, you know, the pocket veto where they nod their head when they're looking at you, and then you find that's that passive resistance thing later on.
Right. So if you spend more time in post-meeting discussion than in meeting discussion, you may have a problem here.
Yeah. And then you might have teams that just avoid those controversial topics, even when they know that they're critical to the success of the team or the organization. We just you know, there's those sacred cows that we just won't talk about.
Yeah. And actually, there's been some excellent stuff written around the whole idea of groupthink, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking specifically about two case studies, one about the original launch of the Hubble telescope and what a disaster that was, and also about the first space shuttle crash, the Challenger crash. Where when they did their debrief of the tragedy, they found out that there was just not enough conflict on the team.
Yeah, the other one that was studied in the similar sort of way is the Bay of Pigs, I believe.
Yes, you know,
because it was the president's idea or the general's idea, everybody sort of nodded their head when, you know, in their minds they had some serious doubts, but they, you know, they did not bring those doubts forward.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's another good sign that you might have an opportunity to increase some productive conflict on your team. We've talked about this around this in a couple different ways already. When silence is viewed as agreement, right? So because nobody's saying to you, you assume that this means they all must be behind your idea, when in fact they might not be. So watch for that one. If people just aren't, don't consider silence to be agreement. And, you know, people just might be getting along all too well. Nothing, you know, everything's fine in rainbows and sunshine land. if you don't see some people at times disagreeing with each other and they're always just getting along, you might have an opportunity or a problem whereby you're not using conflict productively.
Yeah, stir it up a bit, right?
There you go.
You know what? You know what might be a really a good thing to do? If you're on one of those teams that just gets on too well, you guys are all going for beers after work and everything else, just at random, go up to somebody else's desk and punch them in the face.
Well, you want to be making sure you're creating the right kind of conflict, Bob. I'm not so sure if fist fights in the boardroom is what we're suggesting.
Okay. So for those that don't know us, that was a joke. Okay. Please don't do that. I don't want to get sued.
But there are a few things that you can do, right? So in lieu of, you know, starting fist fights, there's a number of things that you can do from as the leader of the group to try and surface this kind of productive conflict.
All right, but don't rule out punching him in the face. Okay, now how do we? I'm just kidding. Okay, so now how do we deal with these things then? So we've identified this as an issue.
Yeah.
And what do we need to do next? Okay, what do I do to try to surface more of this constructive conflict?
Well, we did a podcast a couple of weeks back. You go search it out on Team Trust. And
right.
I would suggest this is a place you might need to start. Before you start, go stir it up on your team.
Yep.
Start with Team Trust first. Once you think you're at a space where this is, you know, at least addressed and looked after, then you can start stirring up the conflict. So start with some Team Trust first. You need to have a bit of a safe environment so that when you do start to stir up the conflict, you know, people aren't going to have their, you know, their feelings hurt, for lack of a better word, that we have an understanding of, hey, when we do stir up the conflict, it's just around attacking ideas and making sure that we're getting the best possible outcome. So start with Team Trust would be one thing I would encourage you to think about.
I can't help but think about, yeah, you decide single-handedly and not tell anybody else that you want more conflict on your team. So you don't punch people in the face, but you do go around and start being highly confrontational.
Yeah.
So you think, yeah, okay, well, if people are calling HR and other such people on you, right, because you may be acting a little too aggressively. So anyway, sorry, I just had an image in my mind. Please carry on.
Now, you as the leader also has the, you know, many opportunities, especially during team meetings and stuff, to seek out alternative viewpoints. So
right.
In a meeting, you could say something to the equivalent of, hey, Bob, you've been unusually silent during this meeting. What are you thinking about?
What's your problem, Jed?
Or, Bob, you don't seem to be quite aligned. Tell me more about the problems you see with this particular idea or, you know, proposed solution.
Yep.
So you can pull these ideas and pull some of the conflict out of folks just by asking the right kinds of questions and asking for alternative viewpoints.
Yep.
One other thing you can think about is hold off on sharing your opinion for a while. Sometimes, you know, because of your position and your status with the team as the boss, once you share your idea, all other ideas are now, you know, second best just because of who you are. So maybe before you share your opinion on a subject or your potential solution, let's go seek out those other ideas first from other folks and hold back on sharing yours.
Yeah, it's interesting because often leaders underestimate this. Right? They think, well, you know, I'm just a member of the team. Well, you're not, okay? You're the boss.
It becomes whatever Jed wants is what Jed gets as the boss, and that can get you into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, so speak last.
There you go. One of the, and this one, you need to be a bit careful with this, but it's a bit unique. If you really want to go somewhere a bit different, you could assign a meeting role as of devil's advocate. So you got somebody that's the note taker, somebody that's the timekeeper. What about if you assigned one meeting role to somebody on the team and you could rotate the role around? Your job is to be devil's advocate today. Your job is to challenge us. Your job is to challenge our ideas and challenge our thinking. That's your role today.
purposely contrarian. So, you know, another thing you can do too, Jed, is if, you know, maybe you do have an idea that everybody around the table agrees. And another thing you can do in this same same sort of spirit is to say, okay, what would somebody who horribly disagrees with this say?
Yeah.
Why would they say those things? And so then you as a group, you engage in this brainstorm around what would people be opposed to and why would they be opposed?
Yeah,
right?
There you go. Another version of that devil's advocate type of thinking. Yeah.
Yep.
Good one. The other one is to, instead of meeting on solutions, potentially, if you've got these kinds of meetings where people are coming in and presenting their ideas to you for some sort of decision or discussion, maybe attack it a bit differently. And instead of meeting on proposed solutions, meet on problem solving in the first place. So you have a chance to get everybody's opinions and ideas on attacking the problem versus now you're not attacking the recommendation or the proposed solution. You can attack the problem itself.
Right.
You might find yourself getting a lot more diversity of thought, diversity of ideas by sort of flipping it around. Instead of meeting on solutions, meet on problems.
Right. And this is one of those things where it might take you longer to get to where you want to go, but the quality of the solution you get when you get there is going to be much higher.
Exactly right.
Right on. That's good fun, Jed. Okay, well, why don't you leave us with three things as per our promise?
One, two, three. One, two, three.
All right, the three things on this topic. Although Bob and I have had some fun and advocated that some conflict can't be productive, remember, not all conflict is productive. So make sure you're recognizing it for what it is. Some of it needs to be managed differently. Some of it needs to be sought out and, you know, initiated by yourself, but not all of it's good. So make sure you understand what that line is.
Right. So, I mean, if you do, in fact, have fistfights in the hallway, either metaphorically or actually, you need to, you're not really maybe want to encourage this, right? Well, it's not one of those, okay, everybody get their feelings out. No. Okay. We have to manage that in a bit of a different way when that happens. So.
Yeah. And you have to make sure that people are, you know, managing their own behavior in those kind of situations in such a way that, you know, it's about attacking the problem, not people.
All right. Number two.
Build your team with some diversity in mind. So don't, you know, it's a bit of a pitfall or almost natural for us to want to hire folks that are similar to us, have similar kinds of thinking patterns, attack things the same way we do. It's easier to get along with those kinds of people. So it's a bit of a barrier sometimes when you're looking to select new team members, or whether it be to your team permanently or on a project. Go seek out some diversity. Seek out some people to put on your team that don't think like you do. You'll be better off.
Yeah, and that's actually a hard thing to do because we actually all recruit in our own image, right?
Yeah.
Either tacitly or explicitly, but nevertheless is that, you may want to surround yourself occasionally, at least, with people that upset you.
There you go. So that's the second of the three things, is build your team with some diversity in mind.
All right. Number three.
Again, attack the problem, not the solution, the person, or the idea. So if you are going to start trying to surface some more conflict on your team, again, make sure you've established some trust with that team. Make sure you have some ground rules about how you go about doing that so it's done in a respectful kind of a way. But that doesn't mean it can't be, you know, in harsh disagreement with your, you know, with your idea or the way we're going to solve this problem. But make sure you have some trust built and you can spend more time on the problem versus the people.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Jed. That's Constructive Conflict here from the Wiley Manager. Guys, if you want more information, you can slide on to www.wileymanager.com. You can pick this up on iTunes, as you probably are already, or perhaps check out our YouTube channel. I'd also remind people that if you want to learn more about how you deal with conflict, we have the Conflict Dynamics Profiles, one of the things that we offer at the Wiley Manager website. This is something that's been developed by Eckerd College out of Florida, and it's an online tool that you can access through the Wiley Manager website if you're interested in self-assessing your ability to deal with conflict and how well you might be surfacing it. So it's worth checking out if you get a chance.
Right on. Thanks for your time, Bob.
See you next time, Jed.
See ya. Hey, thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.
This has been developed, Jed, by the folks out of the out of some place somewhere that I need to think about really hard and re-record this part. Let me try again.
Okay.